Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Let's start with the trial that started this week in Colorado to determine whether Donald Trump can be on the ballot in 2024. This is about the 14th Amendment. How do you think this will turn out?
Really interesting, and it's not getting as much press as I think it probably should be, because this could be a way to keep Trump off the ballot across the country. So this 14th Amendment provision has not been applied for hundreds of years except in one case, and it basically says that a person cannot hold federal office if they, while they were holding another office, engaged in insurrection or gave aid to the enemies. And so this trial is about whether or not there was an insurrection, that did Trump engage in the insurrection, and more fundamentally, who determines that? Would it be Congress, or is it this judge in Colorado? And in Colorado, if the judge determines that Trump can't hold office, then the judge will keep him off the ballot. And of course, that case will probably go up to the Supreme Court at some point.
And in the civil trial, starting today, the legal team for the New York Attorney General is going to call out members of the Trump family to testify. I saw a deposition, and I think it was Donald Jr., and not taking the fifth, but just seemed to answer every question with, I don't remember, I can't recall. What's the strategy there, and legally and politically, what is the result of taking the fifth, and is a way to get around taking the fifth to just say you don't remember?
Well, you know, that if you really do remember and you say you don't remember, that is perjury. And we just had a politician here in Illinois actually get convicted because he said he didn't know, and it was clear he did know. And they used his words in a recorded statement to show that he did know. So it is perilous to say, I don't know, if it's clear you did know. But it is kind of effective because it's hard to cross-examine somebody. If Donald Trump Jr. says, hey, you know what, I didn't do anything to value these businesses, but I don't remember. To the best of my knowledge, I really don't remember. You know, how do you cross-examine someone on that? Yes, you do remember. Weren't you there? I mean, it's very, very difficult. So it is a good protective tool to do that. But again, you could be charged with perjury if it's clear that you did have knowledge.
Now, if you take the fifth, that can't be held against you in a criminal trial, but it can affect the civil trial. Do I have that right?
You can take the fifth if what you say might incriminate you, and you can use that in a civil trial or a criminal trial. But again, if you lie at all, if you say something that's untrue, that in and of itself is a crime. So it doesn't appear that he's taking the fifth, that to my knowledge, he's rather just kind of taking the position that he wasn't involved in any of the evaluations of the businesses that are the subject of this civil trial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess the question is, how does it affect a jury if you take the fifth, or if you say, I can't recall, and what's the difference there?
Well, yeah, the jury is not supposed to take that into account. It's not supposed to draw any conclusions, but
right.
If someone gets up on the stand and says, I'm taking the fifth, you are going to draw some conclusions. You're going to draw conclusions that there might be some inappropriate or illegal conduct that the person is not testifying about. So again, it's one of those things where in the law it makes sense, but in practice, I think jurors do take that into account.
Next week, the trial of the father of the Highland Park shooter will begin. What evidence do you think we will see given the pretrial proceedings?
We, from what I understand, there were text messages between the father and the son where the father heard that he was having ideations, you know, suicide and shooting, and there was sort of a minimization by the father, like, no, you're being irrational, don't talk like that. There's another person who was supposed to testify that he ran into the son, the shooter, the suspected shooter, and the shooter talked about school shooting, talked about wanting to do that. And when the man brought it to the father's attention, the father again minimized the issue. I think also they're going to play the interview or portions of the interview that the suspect had with police following the shooting. So I think all of those things are going to go to the idea that the father knew about the problems. There's probably going to be police testimony about the times that the police were called to the home about the suspect's bad behavior and trying to threaten people with a machete and all those types of things. Mm-hmm. And all of those together are going to go to the prosecution's idea that father knew the son had a problem and bought the gun anyway.
In the Maine mass shooting, we now know authorities went to the suspect's home twice to check on him. Could they be held liable in any way?
It's really hard to charge law enforcement because we have what it's called qualified immunity. And qualified immunity means that you can't charge a police officer or anybody in the military unless that person clearly violated a constitutional right. So, again, if they're doing their job, and it seems like they were doing their job, the military did bring him in for a mental evaluation. They did try to take away his guns, but it just didn't work out. It didn't happen the way it should have happened, but they were doing their job, and I don't see that charges are going to be appropriate here.
Finally, yesterday, the Supreme Court heard arguments asking the court to decide whether public officials can block citizens from their social media accounts. This seems a little far-fetched to me, is it?
Well, the question is, you know, when you are acting as a government agent, so if you're holding an office and you open up an account and you ask people to weigh in or Twitter, whatever it is, you can't just block certain people because if you're acting as a government agent, then the First Amendment applies and you can't sift out speech. It needs to be open to everybody, right? Mm-hmm. But if you have a private account, like you and I could open up an account in Facebook and we can block people because we're not acting on behalf of the government. So the question is, when does someone's private account actually morph into a public account so for purposes of the First Amendment? Because a lot of these politicians, local and even up to Donald Trump, would block people, and they want to block their detractors. And the question is, do you have a right to do that if you're actually conducting some government business?
So many interesting legal cases out there. I'm glad we have Karen Cotty with us every week. Appreciate it. Have a good day, Karen.
You too, Bob.